John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Well, I want to look at something slightly different this evening. We are celebrating, of course, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus. It is Easter Sunday, so we remember Jesus back from the dead. That's our great encouragement, our great news, great good news for the world and for ourselves. But because this idea of resurrection is so full and so rich in the Bible, I want to take you to perhaps an unusual passage where Jesus himself speaks of resurrection and teaches us some great truths about what resurrection means. You see, the problem, I guess for some of us at least, with the resurrection of Jesus is it can seem a little bit remote. Great, Jesus was raised from the dead. He came back to life 2,000 years ago, but what's that got to do with me? I'm living 2,000 years later. What has his resurrection got to do with me today? Well, at least one thing that it's got to do with you is this. One day, like Jesus, you too will be raised. Every one of us in this room. If Jesus doesn't come again and we die, we will be raised. Every single one of us, without exception. There are no exceptions to that. So as we want to find out what that means, because it involves all of us, then we're going to turn to John 5 and hear Jesus' own words on the subject. Three things he wants us to understand. The first is this: he will raise the world. And I mean world. He will raise the world. Verse 28. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Many people today are confused about resurrection. They think it's a bit like reincarnation. I don't really understand that. They are two different words. I know they both begin with R, but they are different things. Resurrection and reincarnation are not the same thing at all. In reincarnation, you get a new body. You come back as someone else after you die. Reincarnation, or transmigration of the soul, as it's sometimes called, teaches that your soul is immortal, but your present body is passing and temporary and has no links to your future body. You may come back as I was about to say Bill Gates. Maybe you wouldn't. Or you might come back as Bill Gates, or you might come back as a red ant in reincarnation. You've got no real control over that, and there's no bearing really on your physical body now with the physical body that you'll get next time in reincarnation. And you can do that many times. But either way, the new body has no bearing on the old. The Bible teaches, in complete contrast to that nonsense, one resurrection, one body that gets renewed. It has resemblance to the old and is connected vitally to it in essence. But it's one body renewed. Many are also confused because they think that the Bible teaches that only Christians will get a resurrection. It's sort of a closed, exclusive perk for church people. But Jesus is crystal clear here. An hour is coming, he says, literally, an hour is coming when all, that is everyone without exception, who are in the tomb or in the grave will be raised and come out. In other words, Jesus here in John 5 teaches us about the general resurrection at the end of time which is for everyone. Now, let me cover a couple of objections to that. Firstly, what about those who've been cremated or destroyed so that their body is not in a grave? What happens then? Well, it seems to me that's not really very difficult, is it? Because if God can create Adam out of dust, I think he can manage with cremated bodies. I think he'll be all right. I think he can cope with that. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter if you're buried, cremated, or in Davy Jones' locker. All, without exception, will be physically raised from death on the last day. When Jesus says an hour is coming, he means it is a certainty. That's what he means by that phrase. It will happen. It's going to happen. Nothing will prevent it. Second objection, what about resurrection only being for good people or godly people or Christians? How can God be just if he raises evil people as well as good people? Well, the answer to that comes directly from what Jesus says himself. Verse 29, those who have done good will be raised to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. There are two resurrections, or more properly, two destinies awaiting those who are raised. At resurrection day, the whole world is divided into two groups. One group will face a resurrection of judgment, the other a resurrection of life. There is no third possibility. There is no resurrection to limbo. There is no resurrection to purgatory. They're inventions of human minds, crazy inventions. There is only resurrection to life or resurrection to judgment. That's it. They're the two options. We'll come to what that means in a moment, but let me here just emphasise the inevitability of the event. There are many things in this life you can't be sure about. That is true, isn't it? Lots of things that we just cannot be sure about. You can't be sure about your job. You can't be sure about your home, your financial situation, even your health. None of those things are fixed and guaranteed, but you can be absolutely sure of this one thing. You will be raised up from the dead on the last day. Without any shadow of doubt, you will be raised. Jesus here promises it, and when he says something, he always does it. This is the voice that created the universe. This is the word of God that made everything and for whom everything was made. So when he says there will be a general resurrection for every person throughout all of time on the last day, he means that, and it will happen. And notice who's going to do this. It is Jesus. The time is coming when they will hear his voice. That's the voice of God's Son. Now we have a great illustration of the truth of that in the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. So you remember the story of Lazarus in John 11. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, friends of Jesus. Lazarus dies. Jesus comes to the home, speaks to Mary and Martha, who are grief-stricken at the loss of their brother. And they plead with Jesus to do something. He goes out to the hillside, to the graves, where Lazarus has been buried in a tomb. And he calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Sorry for those of you who are asleep. He calls out, and I often think, others have said this before me, I didn't invent this, isn't it a good job he said, "Lazarus, come out?" Because it would have been a very busy hillside if he hadn't have said, "Lazarus." There would have been a lot of people coming out of their graves on that moment. If the Son of God said, "Come out," but Lazarus come out, and the dead man comes out, and he's alive. I've often imagined myself into that situation, just trying to think through what it would have been like to be in the crowds, because there were crowds there. In the story, in the account, Jesus prays, and as he's praying, he says words to this effect, "I pray not for my benefit, but for the benefit of those who are around me, so that they can hear me talking to you, so that they know what's going on," essentially. So there are crowds there watching this. You imagine being in the crowd there, and, you know, stories about Jesus would have been everywhere, and then he's there at the graveside of this man, and everybody's probably thinking, "What's going to happen?" And he says the words, and then out comes this guy from the tomb. Must have been amazing to hear that voice and to see the results of that voice. But I remind myself that I will hear that voice, and I will hear him speak those words of power on the last day. On the last day, every graveyard and every garden of remembrance and every unmarked burial place will burst open with life. Every one of them. For some, that moment of resurrection will be a very, very frightening thing. But for others, it will be the realization of eternal life's, I was going to say final chapter. It's not really the final chapter. It's the greatest chapter of eternal life. Now, when I think about that entrance into the new resurrected life, I think about many things. I think, of course, about the promise of a new body with no more of the ailments that we face today. And obviously, for certain people, that will be a very precious promise. The promise that some of the things that we struggle with now physically, that will be gone. There will be no more cancer. There'll be no more disabilities. There'll be no more things that cause us such heartache now physically. That will be gone. That will be absolutely the end of those things. And I think about the new heavens and the new earth. And when I think about that, I think about the glories of this creation now. And it is wonderful. We do live in Haworth. It's pretty special, isn't it? This area. I know some of you live a little bit out, but it is special. This area is beautiful. And we think this is wonderful. But the new heavens and the new earth are going to be so spectacular. Like this, ramped up 1,000 times and more. Relatable to it. It won't be a different thing entirely, but it'll be like going from black and white to colour. Do you remember when we had black and white TVs? I remember black and white TVs. And then suddenly colour came along and it, wow, colour, Technicolour, all this. Or moving from 2D to 3D, or just a whole nother dimension to existence. And I think about the community of redeemed people, an innumerable company. I was thinking this afternoon, I don't know why it was in my head, but I was just thinking about some of the people that, I know what it was, I had a message from somebody this afternoon, and I was just thinking about some of the people that I don't see now that I've been, you know, in years past, really close to, really good friends with, and people that I really love, and thinking about how nice it would be to see those people again. And then I was thinking, actually, do you know, what an amazing thing. I will see them again, because I'll see them, even if I don't see them now in this life, I will see them in eternity. And that community of people that I love will be expanded to an innumerable company of people that I'll get to know and have eternity to be with. That's very exciting to me. That's a very exciting thought. But of course, what is the thing I'm most excited about? As I often say, faith is okay, but seeing Jesus face to face is going to be just marvelous, isn't it? We won't need faith then because we'll see him. That's the promise. The new resurrection body will be physically with him in the new heavens and the new earth. This is how the Apostle Paul describes it in one of his letters. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, that's die, but we'll all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. It is going to be an amazing day. Resurrection. Now, second thing that Jesus wants to tell us here is that he will judge the world. So the first thing is that the whole world will be resurrected, some to judgment, some to life, but the whole world will be resurrected. Second thing he says is the world will be judged. Verse 27, he has given him, that's God the Father has given Jesus, authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. The general resurrection of all people is either for life or for judgment. And here Jesus says that he is the one who will be doing the judging. Two things of importance to notice about that. Firstly, he is given the responsibility of judgment because he is the Son of Man. Verse 27, he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. It's there in the text. It's absolutely plain. Now, that title is a great title. Son of Man is a great title because it reminds us of two things about Jesus that are crucial to understanding who he is. Firstly, in the book of Daniel, he's prophesied about and described as the Son of Man. It's this figure in Daniel who has tremendous power and authority. And it's predicting Jesus. Here's Daniel 7:13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. It's a wonderful picture of splendor and glory and majesty on this person called the Son of Man in Daniel 7. But the title has a double meaning. Even in Daniel 7, it has a double meaning. It not only means this figure, this prophesied figure of great glory and power, it also means one of us. Son of Man simply means human being. Son of Adam. And because he became a real person, a real human person, took on human nature, he endured the same trials and same temptations that we do. Now, I can see how the first use of that title, Son of Man, could qualify him to be judged, because that's full of glory and full of majesty. You would expect that in someone who's going to judge us. Well, what about the second use, one of us? Well, when it comes to judgment, Jesus is perfectly qualified to judge the human race because he became one of us and so understands. So that means we can't think that we can bluff our way out of it. Oh, you didn't understand, Jesus. You've never had the pressures that I've been under. You didn't understand why I gave in to this, that, and the other. To which, of course, the answer is don't be silly, because he's been through everything we've been through and he understands it perfectly. Jesus knows it all. He's been there, he's done it, except he never sinned. That's the first important thing to notice about judgment. It's Jesus. Second important thing to notice about judgment is that the judgment is based on works. Verse 29, those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Now, there is a common confusion about judgment day and salvation. People think that because we're saved by grace that has nothing to do with good works, then judgment is the same. But that's simply not true. The reason we stand condemned before Jesus on Judgment Day will be because we failed to live up to God's standard. We'll be judged on our works. That's easy to prove. It's not difficult to prove. Have you ever hated anyone? Have you ever looked lustfully at somebody? Have you ever wanted something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Have you ever not put God first? The problem is not that we break one or two of God's righteous requirements on us. The problem is that we pretty much break them all. At root, we break them all. And so we stand condemned by our deeds. So if you're hoping on Judgment Day that your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds and so Jesus will let you off, don't. Don't think like that, because that's a deadly mistake to make. Don't think it will all come out right in the end, because it won't. The judgment day will be a terrible day because we all have come short of God's standard. Who then are those who've done good? If we've all come short of God's standard, who are the people in this verse in John 5 who have a resurrection to life? Well, that brings us to the third thing, the final thing here. Jesus says he raises the spiritually dead. Verse 25, very truly I tell you, a time is coming, and now has come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Now, just looking at those two verses, you might think that that's all about Resurrection Day, you know, the end of time, the last day of time. But I don't think those two verses are about that day at all. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. It seems to be speaking about the last day, but look at the words again. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. It's the phrase "and has now come" that is key there. He's talking about a resurrection that takes place now. What does he mean? He means that, as the Bible says, we are all spiritually dead. That is, we're not just crippled or maimed by sin, we are dead because of it. Our souls don't even have a spark of life in them naturally, and so we're in desperate shape spiritually, in spiritual matters. We're dead. That's the Bible's assessment, that's God's assessment of us. And Jesus has come, he says, to bring life. And like his Father in heaven, Jesus the Son has the power of life at work in him. Now that's a complicated idea. We're not going to unpack it tonight. But it means something along these lines, simply put. Just as the Father is the originator and generator of all life, has life in himself that he can pass on to give life to others. So he's given that same life to his Son. So the Son has life in himself, self-existent life that he can pass on to others and bring life. Now the good news from Jesus is that he will give spiritual life to those who are spiritually dead. How does he do it? Well, as in creation, he speaks a word and things happen. They come to life. His word brings transformation in life. And also through the gospel, as he speaks, as we listen to his words, as we hear his voice, as we respond to those words, those who hear and believe are given life. Now, that might be you this evening. It may be that you know that your spiritual life at the moment is nothing to speak about. There's nothing going on there spiritually. And death, as a description of what's going on inside, is pretty accurate, spiritually speaking. You don't know God. You feel the terrible hole right at the centre of what you are, something that's not right, something that's dark, something that's missing. And you really want it, but it's not there yet. And when you hear all this stuff about a general resurrection and a judgment day, then it more than worries you. Because you think, if that's true, then I've got a problem because there's not life going on inside me at the moment. Well, let me encourage you if you're in that state this evening. The way to be ready for the general resurrection and judgment, the way to be ready for this division at the end of time, is to get spiritual life now. And the way to do that is by coming to Jesus, who has life in himself, and asking him for it. The challenge from the Lord Jesus here to us is to listen to his voice, to believe it, and to trust it, to trust what he says. Practically speaking, that means we need to come to him on his terms, which is repentance and faith. It is to say, honestly, I'm wrecked. I've got nothing to offer you. I've got plenty of sin, plenty of things I've done wrong. Forgive me. Make me new. And help me to follow you. That's what it means to become a Christian. That's coming to Jesus on his terms. And that way you'll be transformed on the inside. He will give you spiritual life that will change the way you live, so that when God looks at your life, the evidence of that spiritual life will be seen in the life that is brought about by spiritual renewal. So the good works that we do, we're sort of talking about this morning, the good works that we do are a result of the spiritual life that's worked inside us. The message then from the risen Lord Jesus this evening is this. The whole world will have a resurrection. You will be involved in that. No exceptions. Some will be raised to life. Some will be raised to judgment. And he will be the judge. Lastly, most importantly, he has the power to give spiritual life to all who hear his voice and trust him. So listen and know him today.